Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing, okay? The schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. So my next guest decided in the green room that he needed to set me off. He was like, "Yeah, you're having a. You seem quite too casual and quite too calm. Hang on, I got to stand up for just a minute. Oh my gosh! He was like, "Yeah, you're too calm today. It's Friday. You're casually dressed. You just seem like you're in too casual of a mood. So let me see if I can get you riled up just a little bit. You know." And,
we did it.
Boy, did we not do it? Holy smokes. All right. It's not Trevor Loudon. This is, Don Jans. Trevor was just with me though. The conversation with Trevor, quite frankly, you would have very much enjoyed that. Trevor has two new books out, part one and part two, Security Risk Senators, where he outlines the connectivity between senators, starting with Arizona and ending with Wisconsin, that are compromised because of their strong ties to communism and the CCP.
How many were there?
40?
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's 40. 40 senators that's why it took two books.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why it took two books. I'm almost certain that there's 40 of them. Hang on, let me see. Parts one and parts two. And let me see if I can get a, so he's got House Un-Americans, 13 subversive congressmen exposed, 30, 15 in the first book and 15 in the second, so 30 of them, Arizona to Massachusetts in book one, Michigan to Virginia in book two. So there you go. And then he's also got a book out called White House Reds, which has the research for all of the people that are in the White House that are in, you know, in bed as well. And then I don't know if you ever saw it or not. It's called The Enemies Within. They actually have it up at Amazon and Netflix.
I didn't see the movie. I've heard it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. And then there's another one called Enemies Within the Church.
Oh, that's wide.
And that one is, it talks about the influence of pastors that have embraced communism and socialism and woke ideologies. And it's interesting because, you know, we know. The more flamboyant part of this, I guess you would say, it's a word that comes to my mind, is the embrace by, you know, Episcopalians, Methodists, Presbyterian, and now Southern Baptists, other parts of the Baptist Church already had swung that way. Episcopalian, Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, the Lutherans. The Evangelical Lutheran Church, all embraced homosexuality, a universal form of salvation, many paths to heaven, Islam being one of the paths, you know, all these different paths to heaven, all this stuff. But that's the more flamboyant. What this references is their push of things like social justice, as an example. Because social justice is a Marxist ideology.
Mm-hmm.
Straight, flat up, a Marxist ideology. And so they identify in Enemies Within all of the different Marxist theories that are being taught from pulpits where they try to use the Bible to try to force Americans to take what is a completely ungodly, anti-God message.
Yeah, it's really we're coming up to July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
July 4th happens to be the day that the Second Continental Congress announced that they had adopted the Declaration of Independence. That was the day they said, we have formally now resigned ourselves to separating from England. There were many things that led up to this time. Probably the thing that threw us over the top were the laws that were passed by the Parliament, and the King enforced them after the Tea Parties. Now, the most famous Tea Party, of course, was the Boston Tea Party. And Boston, because that's where Samuel Adams was, and he was under arrest. He was supposed to be going back to England to be tried. And after the Boston Tea Party, there were a number of different laws that were passed that were really, really oppressive. And this is what really culminated and brought everything together. Prior to that, you had the preaching from the pulpit, a true biblical preaching from the pulpit. I don't think there were too many social justice preachers at that time.
Probably not.
Probably not. And when we go back, and if every one of us will take the time this weekend to actually sit down and read the Declaration of Independence. Not just we hold these truths to be self-evident, but go down and read all of the things that they were saying, all the reasons why they were going to be revolting, all those different things that the King and Parliament had done. And when you read this, think to yourselves, how many people in our Congress, how many people, governors, how many people in our government would have signed that Declaration of Independence? Don't just ask about people in government, ask about yourself.
Well, can I read, just the very, yes. It says, so the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one person to dissolve the political bands. And let me move this over so folks can see that I really am reading it, the document. It becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such forms as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and it goes on to explain the history of that. But it's interesting to note, you know, in the midst of this too, again, endowed by their creator. They are endowed.
Go up to the first sentence, though. We already mentioned God, nature's law.
Yep. And
God is mentioned twice, very emphatically.
Yes. Yep. The laws of nature and nature's God entitle them to decent respect. And then we hold these truths endowed by their creator. And even the idea of prudence is rooted in the idea of a divine nature that gives wisdom so that we might understand what it is and why we need to be holding on to these rights.
And these rights we go over them so quickly. But these rights are those rights endowed to each individual, not to a country, but to each individual by God. Life, liberty, and John Locke said, and property, and Jefferson said, in the pursuit of happiness.
Well, so and let me just really quickly, and then I'll throw it right back to you. But where the founders and I've looked into this, where the founders differed with Locke. Is that John Locke held that in one hand, God had the rights to hand to you, and in one hand, man had the rights to hand to you. Our founders actually said, no, neither of those positions are correct. The true position is that you are, God literally put in you life. God literally put in you freedom and liberty through Christ. God literally put in you abundant life, John 10:10. It's in your nature, your new nature, because they believed that Americans were a Christian culture. And as a Christian culture, they understood that they now had a new nature. And that new nature was endowed with that. So
what does endowed mean? What does endowed mean?
That it is entangled. It is a part of who you are. It is literally put into the DNA of yourself.
Yes, yes, and this was an extremely unique position. In fact, there is no other country in the world that has ever been founded on such principles. None.
Yeah,
we are the only country in the world that's ever been founded on that principle. And the interesting thing is when we go on to our Constitution, this same Genier follows us. In fact, we go into the Constitution, and within the body of the Constitution, I mean before the Bill of Rights, there are a number of different liberties given to us, endowed upon each individual by God, that are mentioned in the Constitution. And our people said, this isn't enough. We will not accept this Constitution unless we specifically name other very critical rights endowed upon each individual by God. And we go into the Bill of Rights and we start to read them.
And rights is the critical word. Ninth Amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by who? The people. All rights, and David Justokas has done a great job of explaining this, our constitutional originalist, but it's so important to understand, rights belong to us. They're endowed. They're rights. Powers are shared between us and what we give by consent to the government.
Yes. Yes. And we gave the government specific powers in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. And then in the 10th Amendment, we specifically said no more. This is it.
But those powers have one purpose and one purpose only. They are to defend our rights.
That's correct.
They are the shell. They are the shield around us that is designed to protect our endowed rights.
Right.
And when they turn inward, which is what they've done, when they turn inward, it's like your body is attacking its own DNA. There are illnesses that do that. It's like what this vaccine does to people. It causes their body to attack its own DNA. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, that is tyranny. And we're living under tyranny. We are living under tyranny. Oh, man, I'm going to get my hog farm ready.
Now, when we go back and we remember what you read in the Declaration of Independence, those rights that are given to us by God, when they are no longer adhered to, when they are no longer protected by government, but they are now controlled by government, we have an obligation, we have a duty to throw those off. My question when we first started is, when we start to understand who the United States is and how we were formed, how many senators, congressmen today would be willing to put to, and when we go down to the last paragraph, these people said, we understand we're signing this, but we are willing to give our lives for it.
And here's where I'm going to not really contradict, but just I want to make an addendum.
Yes.
Why would we give our lives for it? Because of endowment.
Yes.
Okay. If it's endowed, it's not even, I'm going to give my life for my life.
Yes.
Hear what I'm saying, folks.
I do.
I'm going to give my life for my life, because if I'm not willing to give my life, then I've already lost my life. I have surrendered my life. I have surrendered my liberties. I have surrendered my freedoms. Folks, this is what I argue with this about, and I try to bring to our attention. When you go to the school and they make you sign out your child, they have already enslaved you and your kid. That is absolute horse hockey. That's your child. Doesn't belong to that school. It's your kid. Your kid.
What would you call what you just said? Would you call that tyranny?
No. I would call what they're doing tyranny. I would call what I'm doing exerting my right. And the fact that the government has decided to usurp our right as a parent is tyranny.
Yes. And now they're saying those kids.
In fact, what it is, and I put it up here, it's despotism, which is described. And that is the exercise of absolute power, especially in a cruel and oppressive way. When they're telling your child against your will, Johnny, you're not a boy. You're actually Janie. We're going to change your name to Janie. Because you're not a boy, Johnny. You're a girl, or you're neither. You're neither boy nor girl. You're fluid. You're whatever you want to be today. When they do that to you as a parent, they have violated every moral, legal right. Everything. It's abhorrent.
Now, I'm going to challenge every single person that's listening today to this 4th of July, read the Declaration of Independence, and I would even say go back and take some time to understand what led up to that.
Read this 4th of July, you know what I'm going to say this 4th of July? Yeah. This 4th of July, take... I don't know if they even have school on the 4th. I think they do. I don't think it's a holiday where there's no school. Don't send your kid to school. Keep your child home Monday and Tuesday. This should be nationally, all across this country, parents should protest the garbage in their schools by keeping their kids home on Monday and Tuesday. I'm
the Declaration of Independence to them.
Absolutely. Explain the Constitution and explain the Declaration of Independence to your children. But don't send your kids to school on Monday or Tuesday. Keep them home.
And then ask yourself, would I have signed that? Would I have made my commitment to that declaration? Do I vote for people? Do I vote for people who would have signed it? Or am I voting for people who would not have signed it? And I dare say that the vast majority, and I don't know what it might be, but I'll bet it's at least 60 or 70% of those in Congress today would not have signed that Declaration of Independence. I know for a fact that the person in the White House who was not elected, although he was inaugurated, would have not signed that Declaration of Independence. Why do I know that? Because everything he does is against it.
And it's the reason why we have this Second Amendment. The reason that we have this Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, is because of the tyranny that's happening in our country right now in order to protect our life, our liberty, and our right to happiness in which that is endowed upon us, which they are coming for. Which they are coming for.
Which they have taken much of.
And that's why we have these. That's why we have these weapons right here, is because of that. For that very reason. To defend ourselves against
despotism.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. I don't think, and I know John Adams, I know he told us. He said, celebrate this day with fireworks. Get together with your family. Celebrate. Use fireworks. But he forgot a very, very critical element. He forgot to tell us every 4th of July, we should read and contemplate what was truly done and why it was done. And are we violating it today? And folks, every part of that Declaration of Independence today is being violated. And we have an obligation when that happens. Are you willing to take that obligation? I think we have to ask ourselves that.
Yeah. Well, again, we're at a critical juncture, but it just struck me that we really should be seriously thinking about how are we responding? And one of the means to respond would be for parents to not send their children to school. Don't send your kids to school on Monday or Tuesday. Keep them home. If you can, keep them home all week. Last thing, 10 seconds.
Okay. I would also say that if your church is not preaching the Bible, get out of it.
Yep. And Prestonwood, by the way, up in Plano, Prestonwood has an online service, and they do an incredible tribute to our Independence Day during their services, which will be at 9:30 and 11. You might want to check it out. All right, I'm out for this half hour. John O'Connor joins me. We're going to talk about Watergate, the corruption of the DOJ, the FBI, the intel community, and the parallels between Watergate and now. Back with all of that coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Fantastic.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm very excited to have my next guest on the program with me. He has written a brand new book about Watergate. He defended Mark Felt, Deep Throat, against a rogue and radical Department of Justice under the Carter administration that went after Mark Felt for the prosecution of Bill Ayers, of all people. It still blows my mind to think. But it shouldn't, because when you reflect back to that time period, here we are almost 50 years later, and the parallelisms between that rogue Department of Justice and the Department of Justice we have now, that rogue, the beginnings of a rogue FBI, the CIA, the operations surrounding Watergate, the parallelisms are crazy. John, welcome. I'm so glad to have you back.
Good to be with you.
Is there anything that I said in that you would say, oh, no, or your thoughts with regards to how I phrased that introduction?
No, that's a tremendous parallel. Now, I did not represent Mark Felt back in 1978 and to Haiti when he was being charged by the Justice Department, but I've written about it. I've researched it.
Okay.
I have the and I'm one of the few people that has the transcript, so... And I've interviewed his junior lawyer that was on the case, in addition to Mark, who the junior lawyer remembered more than Mark did. But it's chilling, because what it is, it shows you what an outgrowth of a biased press we get Watergate was the birth of the biased partisan press. And because of that, the Post, it was the Post who was the cheerleader for convicting Mark Felt because he had his agents enter the homes of and offices of the PLO, which had just slaughtered people in Munich, and the Weather Underground, Bill Ayers et al., who had bombed 50 government buildings. Now, these were legitimate national security searches, which are acknowledged to be legal and constitutional today. But what Mark Felt said at the time was, are we all supposed to put our fingers in our ears and wait for the next explosion from the terrorists, or do we have to go after them and stop it?
Sure.
And he said, something terrible is going to happen if we keep this up. And guess what happens? They pass FISA, thinking they're going to fix the problem by having FISA and construct all these bureaucratic roadblocks and so forth. Guess what happens on 9/11? Because of all this bureaucracy we've put together, we did not proactively stop a guy that had been training to fly planes but not to land them, who happened right. to be a Muslim guy. And it was very clear he was up to no good, but the judge wouldn't let him into the computer. The agencies were quibbling with each other as to whether they could open up. The counterintelligence couldn't talk to law enforcement. So you put the nail on the head. Bad press, bad messaging, a partisan press leads to bad laws, leads to bad governmental action, and is a smokescreen for bad activities by the government. And all I can say is, look not only at 9/11, after 9/11, then they loosen up FISA so that Jim Comey can come in and do Russiagate, because they realized FISA was a bureaucratic mess. So now they made it easier. James Comey comes in and shuts down the country for 2 years on a bogus investigation. So you hit the nail right on the head.
You know, one of the other backstories with regards to the whole Watergate thing was the call girl action that was taking place in the office next door, and the CIA's engagement and involvement in actually more or less calling the shots and manipulating the activities that were Watergate.
Correct. That's absolutely what happened. Very few people know, because we have a biased press, more interested in getting Richard Nixon than telling the truth. The Post actually covered up the facts that it knew, which would have helped Nixon. They knew more about Watergate than Nixon did. That's what's so funny about it. Nixon did not have the same information about the CIA. He strongly suspected it, but he fired Richard Helms, the head of the CIA at the time, but he never had the proof that the Post did. The Post was on top of this, but they didn't publish what they knew. And so here we are. We have a secret agency going rogue, violating the law. They were not allowed to do operations in the United States.
Right.
They'd infiltrated the White House. They were spying on the White House. And yet the Post covered up so that they could go get Richard Nixon and give a false story to America that this was Nixon's campaign operation and not a CIA operation to listen to prostitutes and their johns so that they could extort them.
Wow. Now, so when you look at that, and now we're seeing that in our rearview mirror, so to speak, is there anything about what the FBI has now morphed into? You know, January 6th, I mean, we know by video footage, we knew at the time, many of us knew at the time, that the whole January 6th scenario that was painted by the media was filled with lies. The kicking down of the doors of pro-life supporters, people who were simply standing in front of clinics offering stressed out and confused young women somebody to pray with them. Does the activities of this FBI and then more, even more egregious behavior than that, really. But does the behavior of the FBI surprise you?
No. And January 6th, Pastor Greg, is a great example, because it is a tale of two FBIs. I still maintain that the rank and file are great investigators and they're straight people. And they had this thing down, January 6th, chapter and verse prior to the January 6th. There are a few people that were planning on busting through the tunnels. They had it all, the intelligence. They told everybody, and the Capitol Hill police did nothing about it. The Capitol Hill legislators did nothing about it. The mayor of D.C. did nothing about it. And then you blame it on a million people when you should blame it on 25 or 50. So that's the good FBI. Now, the bad FBI is the one you're just talking about here, where James Comey took the logical step with a partisan press and with power hanging in the balance based upon what he would do. When Hillary started getting in trouble, getting investigated, he cleared his top office out of the old guard, the solid guys that had been around for 30 years that were straight as arrows. He got rid of those guys. And he brought up guys unusually early in their career, like Andrew McKay being a prime example. That's a guy that was a sophomore, really. He's not a senior. He's a sophomore. And he gets brought in there because he's a willing partisan operative, along with other people. Peter Stroke got there because he was willing to be more partisan than his boss. He leaped over his boss and so forth. So what we have is there, because of the partisan press, it allows Comey to become a political operative. Now he can operate in Hillary's favor. And of course you can't, you can only be on one side of the fence if you want to use the press. You can't be a conservative.
Right.
So, but he's operating there, gaining power. If Hillary would have won, and she should have won if she would have campaigned decently at all, we would never know about Russiagate. We would never know how much Comey had influenced the election, and all these guys would be in tall cotton. So there's a great example of the bad FBI and how it has gone to rack and ruin. And to this day, it's hard to undo it. Now you've got people in positions of power, and it's hard to go in and, like a horse, just look in their mouth and find out what they're like. There are still an awful lot of partisans there. And look at what happened on the Hunter Biden laptop.
Oh.
The FBI knew precisely
that
the laptop was good, valid, et cetera, et cetera. And yet that same FBI was going out under Trump's nose, while Trump's in power, and going out and spreading disinformation, warning the tech companies here in the Bay Area, meeting with them every 2 weeks, warning that some misinformation was coming, and really blocking a major problem for Joe Biden, which would have exposed his corruption and would have lost the election for him. So
while propagating the Steele dossier, which the FBI clearly knew already was a fake document. They knew that was political fodder, and they knew that it was all made up. None of it was true. And yet they continue to propagate that.
Well, that's right. So you have the 2016 election, in which they went out of their way to start a bogus investigation that they knew about. And we have the records now. They're actually on written record from John Brennan saying, we've got this intelligence. We know what Hillary's doing. And the facts uncovered, if anybody wants to read the Horowitz report or the Durham report, they'll see that they knew what they were doing. This was intentional. Now, can you prove it criminally? No, you could probably prove it civilly. But so they did that. Then you go to 2020, and they also fixed that election.
Sure.
So that's two elections in a row, and, you know, you're going to find some of the same stuff in this coming election. This is really, really bad when you have the, in a way, secret police. I hate to call them that. But in their secret police function, not their regular investigative function, but in their secret police function, they are basically an arm of the Democratic Party, and they're trying to keep the Democratic Party in power.
You have again been investigating these things. Your take with regards to this: there's two indictments now that President Trump is facing, the one from the Mar-a-Lago raid, and those documents, and then the other issue with the Attorney General that decided to go after him and has continued to go after him, the guy in New York. What's your sense with regards to these two cases?
Well, the first one's easy, Pastor Greg. in New York. That's a ridiculous case. There's no there there. He's wandering all over the lot. I hope that there is a judge that doesn't mind actually ruling correctly here, because it's just a silly case. It has no basis in the law. And there's no, for a number of reasons, that's defective. No, let's just throw that one away.
Okay.
Now, the recent indictment of Trump is very troubling. The first 31 counts about classified documents, except did he mishandle them? That's a question of great ambiguity and uncertainty. And I could see Trump winning on 31 counts there for various reasons. And I can see the government not even pursuing some of those counts because they'd have to release confidential classified information to a jury in order to prosecute it.
Okay.
So but take those 31 counts and realize that Joe Biden was far worse than Trump on those and so forth, because Trump, Biden deliberately kept them for years, his documents.
Right.
But let's go to the last six counts, so Pastor Greg. And I've written about this, and I've got to be honest, and I want everybody to know what's what. I've done these cases. I've prosecuted these cases. I've studied them in Watergate as well. Those six counts are as strong a count as you will see. If people in your audience want to support Trump for president, and I understand it, and so forth, they have to understand that he is going to run as either a convicted felon or one about to be convicted. Right now, the conservative press, understandably, and the Republicans, understandably, are sticking up against a two-tiered system. We've got a two-tiered system.
Sure.
And it's a terrible system, what they're doing. That said, and Hillary wouldn't have been indicted for this, there's no doubt. That said, and we know because it's already happened to her, but that said, this is a good, those six counts are very, very strong.
So what are those, now is part of that connected to this recording that we've heard about?
No, it is not, actually.
Okay.
The recording is in the indictment, but it doesn't really form one of the counts as I read it. Now,
okay.
I can go back and read it again, but I don't even see. They put it in there really to show his state of mind, that he knew he was possessing some classified documents and was not afraid to use them. But they did not charge him. Probably that crime occurred anyway in New Jersey, and they may charge it later on. They've never found the document that he supposedly,
right,
at least on his possession.
And they don't have a witness that's testifying or anything to collaborate to establish any evidence that could potentially be brought into court, according to another attorney that I spoke with about this.
Well, that's what I don't know, because we don't know what the government has.
Yeah.
Because there was something that one of the writers that he talked to that did Mark Meadows' book described a 4-page document that Trump had that was presumably classified. Now, did that mean the writer saw the document in Trump's hands? Did he see classified? Let's hold the phone on that one, because they may know that. But it doesn't make any difference. Let me get to the six counts that he's being charged with. There are five counts of lying and obstruction. They have him on film. They have Trump's body man taking 64 boxes out of the storage area. After the lawyer has said, Trump's lawyer has said, I'm going to come back here in 11 days and examine the documents. And I got to give the classifieds to the government and swear I did it. Okay? Trump goes, okay. That's May 23rd. Between May 23rd and June 2nd, 64 boxes are moved out of the storage area. Only 30 come back in. So when the lawyer comes in to look at the boxes, he doesn't know how many boxes there should be. Lawyer hadn't counted them before, hadn't been in. So now the lawyer's looking through 30 boxes. He does his job, pulls out the classified documents, puts them in a folder. He and his associate give them to the government the next day, and the associate certifies they've given the government everything. Trump knew that those documents were not all the classifieds. He knew there were 34 boxes they hadn't given him. So he caused false statements to be made to the government, and he also obstructed the investigation by moving evidence and keeping evidence from a subpoena. And so then one count of contempt to court for not willfully not complying with the subpoena. So Pastor Greg, I got to tell you this. Everybody should have their eyes wide open. This is a conviction case. It's, I hate to say it, but we should face the music now. If a viewer now is saying, I'm sticking with Trump no matter what, I understand it. But I'm telling you that this is not going to play well with the middle of the electorate. We've got to get over 50% here, presumably, or at least more than the next guy has. And I think it's going to prove problematic in the general election. I think Trump's going to win the primary if he continues forward. And I think we've got a problem, Houston. Now, my second concern is the only guy that Trump could probably beat in this election is one of the worst presidents we've ever had, Joe Biden. But I'm sitting here now in California. I live about a mile away from Governor Newsom's in-laws and where he often stays. And I suspect that if Biden falters more, Newsom's going to be the next candidate. And then it'll be a different ballgame, I think, just because he's handsome and charismatic and a nice speaker, even though he's way out there on the left fringe.
What about Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? What about RFK?
Actually, he's kind of an odd guy, but he's very likable. And I think he'll get a lot of votes.
He seems to be picking up a lot of steam. I mean, it seems to me that he's got a lot of support.
And one of the things about Kennedy, he's an odd duck because he has some themes there that are populist and conservative.
Okay? Right.
Besides being a liberal in many ways, he's populist and conservative. He was an anti-vaxxer, was against Anthony Fauci. He's a man who speaks his mind. He's had enough money in life and enough prestige and power that he doesn't need to bend the rules for anyone. And so that's what's good about him. He has integrity. He's a nice looking guy. He's got a funny voice because of that issue he has with his vocal cords. But I like the guy. I find him engaging, and I think a lot of people like him. So he's got a chance. But what I would say is it's almost a year away. If you look at the way Biden walks, I've talked to neurologists about this, and some of the way he cups his hands and everything.
Yeah.
A neurologist will tell you there are signs of dementia there.
Yep.
So we know he's demented, but there are actually physical signs of it. I don't think things are going to get better in the next year. And I think that it's going to become apparent that he's not physically qualified.
But now the next question, John, is, and I think a lot of us feel this way. I don't know how you feel about it, but, Barack Obama never gave up the presidency, in my opinion. He ran a shadow government when President Trump was there, undermining Trump at every turn with Valerie Jarrett and Susan Rice and others. And he has said, as a matter of fact, Ben Shapiro just put up a video recently of Obama doing an interview and saying, yeah, I'd be open to a third term, but of course I'd have to do it, with some kind of a puppet in the White House. And I think he's got that. I mean, I really do think he's got that. So does Obama possess enough power and influence still in the Democratic Party to keep his puppet in office?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Even though he would have influence within the party, he certainly could help Biden get nominated. But I will tell you, it's hard to keep up an appearance. Biden will not be able to debate anybody. That's what's good about having Kennedy in there, because it forces him to debate. And I think that even Obama is going to be put his finger up to the wind and realize that this is not a good horse to bet on. I have an idea. Everybody's watching and waiting. The Democrats are watching Biden with bated breath.
Right.
So he's right on the precipice here, Pastor Greg. And I think everybody knows it. I think he can only work a few hours a day.
Yeah.
The insiders all know it. This is not a capable person.
Right.
When he had all his faculties, he was the dumbest guy in the Senate. There's no place he's been.
He got booted twice on, he ran for president three times. The first two times he got booted. The first time he got booted for plagiarism. The second time he got booted more or less for just being an incompetent boob. And you know, and then he, by de facto, he ended up being there. My understanding, I was told I was just given some information, but I was told that the reason that he got in to the vice president position is because Michelle Obama told Barack, if you make Hillary Clinton your vice president, she'll have you assassinated. She will kill you. So you can't do that. So they switched Clinton and Biden, made Clinton the Secretary of State and Biden the vice president. Go ahead.
Well, I think I'm not so sure she would physically assassinate him.
No, she would have it done, though. She had connections, and I think she could have had it done.
Well, it wouldn't be beneath her, but I think it was smart. The reason they picked Biden was it was very calculated that he was still looked at as good old Joe from Scranton, and he made Obama look a little bit more moderate, because here he is, he's got this supposedly moderate vice president. Really, yep. What he is just an idiot who's all over the lot in whatever he says.
Yep.
And, you know, he'll say something that's racist on one day and not on the other. But so he's sort of likable doofus. And so that's why they had him. The whole idea, this is like the Peter Sellers movie about Chauncey Gardner, about a guy who knew nothing becoming president. This is Joe Biden. I mean, the guy, you know, there's, you know, he's a taco short of a combination platter. He always has been.
Yep. All right. Real quick. We only got about a minute and a half left. On the GOP side, you said, you know, those that are still endorsing President Trump want him to be the guy. You feel like he's probably going to have an indictment or on his way to a criminal indictment, a conviction.
Yes.
Where does the GOP go? What does that do? Because in my mind, that creates this massive split within the party, because there are Trump people that are just not going to vote for anybody else, no matter what. Primary, general, doesn't matter. If he got booted, they may not vote.
Well, that's a problem. Or they could even start a third party. I don't know that Trump would have the energy and the organization to do it. But I think the only hope probably is DeSantis. I don't see, if DeSantis and maybe teams up with Tim Scott, you might have a pretty good pairing there. But that's what has to happen. And so DeSantis has to play it somewhat low key. He can't come out unleashing on Trump too much, because he'll lose Trump supporters. So the real message has got to be, if you love Donald Trump, if you love Donald Trump, you should vote for DeSantis, because DeSantis is going to pardon him, you know, and DeSantis can win, and DeSantis can pardon Trump. So, and put an end to the two-tiered system. Now, that's a very far-reaching
idea at this point. Right.
But in fact, that's probably the truth. I hate to tell the hard truth, but the best way to help Trump is not to vote for him.
There you go.
I'm sorry about that.
I
like so much of what he's done.
Well, and we still are going to need a serious fighter in there, and the Trump side is really doing a lot that I think is damaging to DeSantis relative to that, and we'll have to see how that plays out. John O'Connor, postgatebook.com. Postgatebook.com is the website. Hold tight for a second. Folks, I got to let TECN-TV go. Thank you so much for being with me, folks. We're going to talk for a couple more minutes here, if John has a couple more minutes for us. And so we're going to keep going. We'll be on our social media platforms. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Texas Fully Loaded is coming up right now on the TECN-TV network. There we go. I had to release TECN because they've got another program coming up right behind me, and they got to fire that one up. But I wanted to hang on. We're still going. I just wanted to hold you for a second. The DeSantis piece is interesting to me, and I'm not an anti. In fact, I'm going to have a guest coming on here in the next couple of weeks that has written a piece suggesting that perhaps DeSantis, could lose based on his war with Disney. my feeling is that the war with Disney is to his credit. And we need more governors that are willing to stand up against these corporations that have decided to target our children.
Well, I think it's very much a positive. The people that are going to be solidly woke are the far left of the Democratic Party. Everyone else, 70% of America, 80% of America, is not in tune with this woke stuff. And especially when you get into the into some of the